Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. So thanks for coming to watch my channel. So talking about Scappaticci, steak knife, that crown agent inside the IRA, big reports come on about him because he died just last year, and the partition of Ireland, but obviously legal, legitimate Sinn Féin voted for it in 1921. And so on, upheld by an election in Southern Ireland. Anyway, he got involved in this terrorist organization, the IRA, in the late 60s. And of course, there were loyalist terrorist organizations as well. And the Crown Forces were not entirely blameless. But anyway, he dropped out of the IRA in the early 70s after a brief stint in. And then he got involved in some tax fraud thing, I think employing non-existent people. And that came to the attention of the Royal Ulster Constabulary, the RUC, that was the police at the time. And they knew they had him banged to rights. So he was useful to them, saying, we can prosecute you for this, we can put you away for several years, or you could play ball with us. And so he chose to cooperate with the forces of the United. Of course, he didn't accept the privilege of being British, called himself Irish, and that's obviously completely compatible being British. I'm Irish, that's what makes me British, even though I'm not from the UK, I'm from Cork. Anyhow, so he was back inside the IRA because people disengaged, got on with their lives, and then re-engaged. The Republican movement accepted him. By the way, he had that unique name in Northern Ireland, Scappaticci, because he was Italian on his father's side. So his father shifted from Italy to Northern Ireland in the 1920s to get work. And then people say, oh, it was so anti-Catholic, you couldn't get a job there. Obviously preposterous. What a flagrant lie. Even someone who moved in from Italy, not speaking English, could get a job there. That's why Catholics moving into Northern Ireland, including from the Republic, to work. But he was very useful to the Crown. They get him a car. And, you know, Northern Ireland was actually quite different from the rest of the UK back then. A lot of my younger viewers won't realize just how bad it was. There was a lot of violence in the 70s, 1972, 500 people killed that year. Bearing in mind, Northern Ireland's quite a small place, and it had a population of 1.5 million. And it went into the 80s, there were bombs going off almost every week. And the death toll that wasn't that high, 50 or 100 a year, but people couldn't live anything like a normal life. But so it was much poorer than Great Britain. It had the highest unemployment in the United Kingdom. The IRA was doing the best to wreck everything, to push people into poverty. There was high unemployment. So affording a car in the early 80s, if you're a working class person in Northern Ireland, was not as easy as you might think. These days, everybody could afford a car. Not quite so much 40-something years ago. But MI5, that's the United Kingdom's internal intelligence agency, had it bugged. Also, he worked with various intelligence units within the British Army, like as in the Force Research Unit. You know, why did people become double agents? Because he was a Republican convictions. Why did he work against his own side? You know, mice, money, ideology, compromise, ego. So it's partly compromised. If he didn't cooperate, he was going to go to prison. Wait a second. If the IRA unmask you as an informer, they're going to kill you in a particularly gruesome manner. Money, did he get a bit of money? Probably. He certainly got the use of this car. Ideology, I don't think he was a unionist. I don't know. Perhaps he had no political beliefs at this stage. Ego, maybe they stroked his ego saying, wow, you're so fantastic, you outfoxed them. Had his nose been put out of joint because someone in the IRA been promoted over him, did it separate that whatever, he didn't get the recognition he felt he deserved. So they can play on that. They say unsteady people don't go for this. So he was a valuable asset inside the Irish Republican Army for Her Majesty's forces for years. For about 20 years, and that was it. He was then part of the internal security unit, or the Nutting Squad, it was just colloquially known, when the IRA thought they'd identified someone within their own ranks who was feeding information to the Crown Forces. They would abduct him or her, take the person from Northern Ireland, that was the fulcrum of the conflict, into the Republic, some remote area, and they would interrogate this person under torture for days and break that person, and he or she would confess. Now, there was really no point in confessing because that was to seal your doom. But, you know, if you beat someone and beat someone and beat someone and whatever, I don't know what they do, dunk the person's head underwater and pull them out, and again, electric shocks, whatever horrors they were put through. Eventually, you can get people to admit to anything. Anyone will confess to being a golden elephant or whatever you want to say, just to stop the agony. And that was the only way to achieve any abatement of it. And so he was involved in this. And then obviously Republican movement, they're so sanctimonious about human rights, despite inflicting the most gruesome tortures on even members of their own movement. And they'll say, oh, no, the loyalists did this. I mean, there was Shankill butchers who were absolutely psychopathic sadists. That's true. Some of the UVF committed these particularly grisly murders, and the Crown Forces were not entirely inculpable. But nothing like on that scale. And anyway, and then these people would be murdered and their bodies dumped as a warning. Sometimes their bodies just disappeared, buried. We have no idea where they were, which is worse, which is causes trauma for the family. Even if you're a Republican, completely agree with killing these people. There was no need to put the family through even more of an ordeal and never reveal where the bodies of the disappeared are. And the IRA often didn't, decades later, when the conflict's over, not going to be prosecuted. But those bodies that were dumped, they usually dumped naked. And I thought, you know, that's so perverse. You're going to murder a person bad enough. Why did the body nude? Is that just sheer cruelty? It's sick. But part of me thinks, well, maybe there is a certain logic to this, morality aside. This person was abducted. There might be fibers from his clothes on the car seat. And then the IUC could trace that car seat to the victim if they can find the clothes the person was wearing at the end. Anyway, and so some Crown reformers may have been murdered, and because he's involved in the IRA, various attacks were allowed to go ahead because he was involved in them. And the Crown Forces had the ability to disrupt them, as in to move the target or to whatever, to put on extra patrols, which is going to frustrate an IRA operation. But anyway, if they disrupted too many IRA attacks, and the common factor was Skapatich was involved, the IRA eventually figure out who's the jinx here. Why does something keep going wrong when he's involved? Because Marty McGartland, of 50 Dead Men Walking, another very important informer for the United Kingdom inside the IRA, that happened to him. The IRA smelt a rat because time and time again, they had to do a mission abort, and he was involved because he was tipping off his IUC handlers who took evasive action or whatever. And that's why the conflict came to an end. You know, the informers are unsung heroes. They didn't always do it for high-minded reasons, but they still did it. And they risked horrendous tortures and murder if they were caught, and he wasn't. But he was injudicious enough to give an interview to some London-based newspaper who's recorded out his knowledge in about 1993, lacerating Sinn Féin or saying that Martin McGuinness, who's one of the most evil British men of all time, had no friends and blah, blah, blah. He was the IRA's godfather in Derry, who's thankfully now dead, and so on. McGuinness was an absolute ogre. And in the early 90s, was it just even after the ceasefire, a young woman supposedly revealed the location of one firearm, and he gave the go-ahead for her to be abducted, tortured, and murdered. But he's such a nice guy, and he liked children. So it really was sick, the reputation he had. And I also excoriate the loyalist terrorists, who were just as bad. Anyway, so in 2003, Skapatich was exposed. He was Steak Knife. That was his cryptonym. But notice how they misspelled steak as in the type of meat. They spelled it steak as in a piece of wood. But they say whoever came up with not the sharpest knife in the drawer, is that a quip? Is that a pun? But I thought, was it some sort of allusion to his surname, as in also begins with an S and has got a K in the middle rather than a C? I'm not sure that anymore. It's got an I in the middle, but you know, maybe I'm putting two and two together to make five. Anyway, because his handlers wouldn't tell them that their real names as well. But then he vehemently denied all, gave a press conference, and he brazened out in Belfast. He left in 2004, leaving his wife and children behind, but his children were largely grown up by that stage. And he was relocated to Guildford. I heard they used to get people out to Australia, Canada sometimes. Anyway, and so he lived out of his life in relative obscurity, dying of natural causes last year. It's mystified many people that the IRA did not murder him as they did with so many informers, because although he strenuously and stoutly denied having been a Crown reformer, I don't think anyone now disputes that he really was. And but the trouble is, to protect him, the Crown let attacks go ahead and people got killed. And that was very unfashionable to say this now, but these are the terrible moral compromises you have to take in an armed conflict. People get killed in a conflict. It'd be better if they don't get killed, but that's what a conflict is. And if this very valuable asset is exposed and killed himself, the Crown has lost its source, a lot more attacks will go ahead, and so on. And then it'd be more difficult to recruit more informers. And the people who are killed, were they really informers? Maybe they weren't in the end. And they were genuine IRA men that were killed by the IRA. The IRA had to not share information so much in case somebody was a mole, and so on. And I know it's a horrendous and very painful decisions had to be made. And of course, the relatives of the victims, they are not going to buy this argument because their relative, he or she, was just so precious and irreplaceable. But the trouble is people making these decisions have to be objective. There's no place for sentimentality in this. They're trying to keep the death toll down. The trouble is we can never know how many lives were saved by having him there. We cannot quantify the attacks that didn't go ahead. The attack had gone ahead. The bomb had gone off. Would that have killed one person or 10 or nobody? We can't be certain. Anyway, I don't think they did it out of sheer nastiness, out of sheer bloodlust, the people who were handling him. So I do know a little bit about these matters, not that I'm a member of any intelligence community, but I have met some people who are. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye, everyone. Toodle pip. No, I haven't fled to New Zealand. Never been to Kiwiland, actually.